What's in the bag?
It's a book for you.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a book I'm reading. I read a great review in the New York Times.
Really?
Let's turn on the recording.
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Because why not just advertise this girl's book while we're at it?
I love that. Yes.
Hey, Bob, is your phone on airplane mode?
I don't know.
How does yours?
Yes.
What does it mean?
It's just so it doesn't cause any disturbance with the recorder.
What would it do?
It's like this weird feedback.
I know. Sim is an asshole. He's a fucking asshole. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry about that.
I think it's on airplane
mode
now.
Thank you, Bob. Perfect.
Because of that. That's how, that's what an old man I am. Does it mean it's on if it's orange or clear?
Hi, Bob. Odenkirk is about to pull something out of the bag.
I got Anna a book.
From Book Soup.
Because why not help somebody else's creative project? Look, the fact is my little movie, Girlfriend's Day, is going to be on Netflix forever and ever. No rush. You don't have to rush out and see it. And if you like comedy, noir films, whatever it's like, you're going to get it pushed on you. You don't need my help. So let's advertise somebody who needs some advertising. This is a book I picked up because the New York Times had a good review of it.
Yeah.
And it started a little rocky, but I really like it now. And
To the goddamn Ice Cube. I love it already. Chasing Fear and Finding Home in the Great White North.
Who's the author?
Blair Braverman. How can you get a better name than that?
That's a cool name for a...
Cool, thank you.
Brave girl. I'm just reading it and liking it more and more as it goes. And I don't know, I thought maybe Anna reads.
A memoir?
Do you read? Yeah.
Yeah, I do when I can. I mean, I have a 4.5-year-old. Did that happen to you?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I stopped reading and then knowing how to read.
Yeah.
Now I can barely text him.
Yeah, everything stops. Your brain stops.
Kind of, yes.
You just move around.
People will sometimes remind me slowly of like an episode of Mom that I did. Like,
yeah, you forget everything
yesterday.
That happens in these. Everything is forgotten. Take a lot of pictures, make a lot of little movies because it's a blur.
It's such a, what happened? That's depressing. Is it depressing?
Because you don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You don't get enough sleep. And but you can put that on the bookshelf and read it in 3 years when things cool down, which they do.
And that was really thoughtful. I love a book as a gift.
Well,
and I
think you might like it. And I love the idea of telling people about it because it's a cool book about a young lady's many experiences over the course of her life in the far north of the world.
She
loves the cold and the Arctic. This from when she was a kid. And so every chance she gets, she's going up there for school, for...
I wonder, does she love the isolation? Because that was my fantasy when I was a kid, was to move to
the cold. Have you ever been
north
to a place where you thought, I belong here? I was in Ireland when I was 21, and I just had such a great ghosty feeling.
Was that
of like, I should just
was
stay
it like
here.
The mist and the...
No, I just felt right. Yeah, it was the mist and all, but it was like a genetic, because I'm half Irish. But I don't know. I was in Germany, too, and I didn't feel like I should stay there. but I'm half Irish, and it really felt legit to go, maybe that's it. Stay here, and whatever I'm going to do it here.
Have you felt that way about any place in the States or any other place?
No.
Interesting.
That's the only place where it was that strong a feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that's how I think she describes it there. She grew up in Northern California, and every chance she got,
she's
Arctic
in the
Circle. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Hey, so dear listeners, Bob Odenkirk is our incredible guest this evening, or maybe this morning to you if you're listening to it on your morning commute or working out. Hey, Bob, I wanted to ask you something. Do you ever, and this is kind of me projecting a question. Well, whatever, I'll just forge forward. But do you ever get annoyed with the comedic acting versus dramatic acting question?
Sure, a little bit, yeah.
I do too. That's kind of why I'm asking. And I'm not annoyed that the person is asking it because but what annoys me is that the mindset in general.
Right.
Because for me, I mean, I pretty much only do comedic work, but I grew up a dramatic actor. I never ever envisioned myself as in the comedic world, nor did my friends or family. I was very naive when I came to this town for lots of different reasons, but it was a harsh reality check when I got cast in Scary Movie and then couldn't, it like the, just that the, that this industry defines comedic acting and dramatic acting so severely.
I know. They're the same thing, but there's different mixes of elements to them, but they're the same thing.
I agree.
The commitment of a comic actor is every year some comic actor gets raves for doing a drama, you know.
Right.
Martin Short on Damages, right? You know, like, just every year there's one comic actor is like, oh my god, yes. Look at him.
Who knew? And it
but
feels
it's like,
what
do you mean?
Yeah,
who knew?
Right.
Although I will say the transitioning of a dramatic actor due to comedy, in particular broad comedy, doesn't seem to happen ever or very much.
Right.
Because there's a weird kind of self-awareness in play in broad comedy that has to feel right. Like a feeling that the performer is doing the full-on commitment, the crazy commitment to a crazy scenario, a crazy character, and it's in their eyes, a full commitment. But somehow there's also an element of like they know how goofy they're being, and that's fun to watch. And for a certain most dramatic actors, when they're doing that, it's not fun. It's like, ugh, you know how funny you're being. You know, I always think of Will Ferrell as someone who can pull off a broad, broad performance and you're just so happy. And he's so big that you feel like he's watching it too. But it doesn't, it's not a negative at all.
It's
more of a positive.
No,
I don't know. I don't think dramatic can go the other way, but somehow it's a little easier for comic actors to go do dramas, I think.
I agree with you, and I think that, and I think it's unfortunate that comedy isn't sort of recognized as being such an incredibly difficult format. And
yeah, people think it's easy or something, or like you can't. I guess there's a feeling like, well, you can't help but be funny. You're always funny. So it's not really a skill. You know, you can't help it.
Right. Or you're acting like, ridiculous. How hard is it to act like a doofus?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty hard. I mean, what the hard thing is sort of being okay with the idea that the audience may think that's really you. I have to be okay with doing the house bunny, that the audience, I have to be fully embracing of the idea that they believe that I am a ditzy blonde and be okay with that. Really diving into the deep end.
Yeah, but that's just acting, right? I mean.
But I think that some people, Keenan Ivory Wayans put it best. He said that some people like wink at the audience.
Yeah.
And so there's like a half a commitment.
Right.
And there's a little bit of swagger
in
the idea of like, don't worry, this isn't really me.
Yeah.
Kind of a performance.
You can't do that.
You
got to go
that.
All in.
You got to go all in.
Well, I would argue that I'm not that great at comedy. When I'm on stage doing sketch, usually with friends, there's always somebody funnier than me on that stage. Usually Jay Johnston or David Cross.
Now they're very funny.
But they are. They're funnier than me. But then now when it comes to drama, I've got that little bit of goofiness that's kind of in there all the time.
Right.
And then now suddenly I'm this dimensional dramatic actor when really there's just something broken with me.
I agree with you. I make the fucking craziest faces and I have no idea that I'm doing it.
Right.
And I can't help it.
To some extent, there's the industry, if you're lucky enough to have a variety of opportunities over time, it kind of decides what you are. And it kind of tells you, this is where you're strongest. And if you can listen to it and not be resentful, because some people are like, no, God damn it, I'm funny if they're dramatic. And it's like, just take the response you got and be happy that there is a place where you're appreciated. That's how I feel, because it's hard enough.
That's how I feel, too. Yeah.
I think with writing, I can write sketch comedy. It's what I love, and it's how I started and spent most of my life. But with acting, probably a dramatic part is a better place for me.
We're going to ask you now to play yourself.
All righty.
I'm going to give you your situation, and then I'm going to be somebody. All right?
All right.
Okay. You are shooting a film in Vancouver. You're staying at the Sutton Place. I think they've remodeled, you know.
Okay.
Your pickup is 9:30.
Yes.
Because you worked pretty late last night.
All right.
But they're giving you
That's
your turnaround.
Good. Wow.
But you're enjoying a coffee at the hotel bar, reading the newspaper. Hey, oh my God. Hey. Hi. Oh, yeah. I don't watch a lot of TV, but you, oh my God, I know you are that guy, Bob Odenkirk.
Wow. Well, you must watch a ton of TV if you
I don't really like
you
a
watch
lot
it
of te-
very closely.
I don't really like a lot of television. Is somebody sitting here? I'm going to sit here. Oh my God, that's really cool that you read the newspaper.
I was just finishing it.
My parents.
I've been here for like 2 hours.
They're
now.
Like addicted to their iPads now. They don't even get like the home
Your
delivery.
Parents?
Yeah, it's really weird. Do you have a waiter? Hey.
Hi. Is there anything you would like to drink?
I was just going to wrap up my.
No, wait,
would
wait.
Would you like the check?
No.
Yeah.
Wait. Cherry, tequila bomb. Wait. I'm trying to be an actor. And I just want to ask you a few questions, okay?
Yeah.
So what kind of like advice like would you give to somebody who's like starting out? Even though I've done a lot, but not like really big things.
All right.
So what kind of advice would you give to me? Oh my God, here's my cherry.
Doing a lot of things. I mean, you know.
Do you want one of these?
No, I can't
They're
drink. I have
so
to get
good.
Up at 2 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Four hours.
No,
that's
not really
acting.
For
that's
me.
The life of an actor.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's hard work,
probably
right?
Get your hair done.
What? Now, why is your show on. Called Better Call
Gotta Get Sal.
Saul.
Gotta
Got Sal. Like, why, though? Like, it's that, weird.
That's the whole mystery of the show. And in the end, we'll find out why. It's a show called Gotta Get
Do you Sal. Think that, like, if you were watching yourself on your show, do you think that you're good?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm
do
pretty
Do you watch
good.
Your show?
I have to. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on because I don't read the scripts. I only read my parts.
You read newspapers.
That's a professional.
Because you're smart. That's so cool that you,
well,
like, know
cool.
about,
well,
like,
listen,
the world. But, so, no, wait,
I've got
I just have
my
a couple
check
more.
Coming.
I have
and
a couple,
here you
couple.
Go.
Wait,
you're
wait,
all set.
Oh my gosh, wait,
Thank
Mr.
You.
Odenkirk, can I tell you something? Okay, I know you might be married.
Yeah. You want to take
but
a picture?
I can tell that your package is huge.
You want to take a picture?
What room are you staying in? Can I have your phone number? That way you could just give me advice directly. Do you go under Bob Odenkirk or do you have an alias?
I'm staying
like
under
some dicks.
A fake
some
name.
Dicks, you, ugh, I hate those dicks.
Yeah, I'm staying under a fake name.
Is it Saul?
Saul Goodman is my fake name that I'm tricking people
What's,
with.
What's Saul's phone number? Can I have it? Or I'll just take yours.
Yeah. I'll just give
and
you my number,
you
555.
Here?
Huh?
Oh,
555?
I know. When I've asked other actors, that 555 thing doesn't work on me anymore. what are you shooting here, though, in Vancouver? It's so cool you're here. I actually drove up.
It's a movie
from
called...
Los Angeles.
It's a movie called Jaws 5.
Oh, my God. That shark comes back again?
Yeah, under the ice. That's
oh, my God, because of global warming.
Because of global warming.
Oh, my God. Do you get chopped in half?
Well, I'm an ice fisherman.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I get eaten in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Oh.
So.
Do you have to, like, go into
Scream?
Icy water?
No, they rig it. They rig the water to make it warm.
Rigged. Don't you think rig
pour,
is a sexy word?
We're going to use real ice.
Rig.
On the
Do you
lake.
Rig it in
And then
your
they'll
room?
Cut the hole. And then
you
they'll,
don't rig
they'll
it in your
pour
room.
Hot water in
pour,
there.
Pour is hot too. rig.
Well, listen, I just want to say you're great.
Oh my God, you
are
so great.
You're clearly a talented actress.
I would love.
I just want to say I could tell you're incredibly talented.
Thank you.
And you got a long future ahead of you, but you need to get down to LA.
Do you think I'm more comedic or am I more dramatic? Like, what would be your sense?
I would say you're more comedic now, but in about 10 years.
Tell me that I'm really funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not. But I feel like I am. So you think, but in like 10 years.
Then you're going to go for Oscars. And that's just what happens. That's a normal trajectory.
I would love to get an Oscar, but I feel like they're kind of fucking bullshit. You know?
They kind of are, yeah.
But I wouldn't be like, oh, no thanks. I mean, I would go.
Uh-huh. You'd attend if you had to.
Yeah, but.
Right. Well, look, this is awesome. And.
What room are you in again?
815.
Oh, I feel like it doesn't say that on your check. Well, that's because it says 1105, room 1105.
Well, look, you know.
Thank you for my cherry tequila bomb, by the way. It's really fucking good.
Well, look, great. I will be here again next week on Thursday. You can come back and we'll talk more.
I would love to go to set with you sometime.
We're out in the middle of the frozen lake.
I would love
that. All right, well. Let me draw you a picture of where we're at. Give me that bar napkin. And this is the lake, see? And we're kind of out in the middle here, and there's the dock. So just on your own, just walk out into the middle of the lake tomorrow.
Okay, you will see. And I'll just ask for you.
Just ask for me. Okay. Whoever you see, whatever, just ask for me.
Okay, Bob.
Anyway, boom, that'll get you there.
All right. Oh my God.
It's so great to meet you.
This is so cool.
Please give me a job one day.
Oh my God. So you're going to be at what? Okay. At what time are you going to be off work? I'll probably be here.
Tomorrow? I start at 2 a.m. and I'll go till about 11 p.m.
I'll be here.
Yeah. This is great. Stay here. Don't leave.
I won't. Can I have another cherry tequila bomb room 1105?
Is this girl real?
Odenkirk.
Awesome. Jesus.
She's...
Honestly, that exact thing has not happened to me, but obviously sort of. What the fuck? What do people think is going to happen?
I don't know.
It's not the 70s. I don't bring a hot tub with me to the hotel. I got my fold-out hot tub.
I don't know. She's
there was a time when that was life.
Yeah.
It was great. Show business. Remember, you read stories about show business and people would get really ripped every day at around noon. They'd be drunk the rest of the day. And
do you remember those times at all?
No. I mean, that was before.
So they didn't happen in like the 80s or the 90s?
Well, I don't know. I was a writer. Come on, writers are.
Wait a minute, but on SNL, right? You hear the story. No, that
stuff was over when I got there.
Gotcha.
All the drugs. I mean, some people did drugs, obviously, because they died from them. But actually, most people just worked really hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know what it is.
It's hard fucking work.
Yeah.
Okay, so now
I love that, by the way. What a great scenario.
Oh, that
I play that for my wife and say, you see how good I am? You see?
Her name is Kayla. She's notoriously atrocious.
Oh God.
Yeah. I saved you from a couple other.
There are tons of Kaylas in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little delusional.
Too bad.
I really like the idea though of a person who asks a lot of questions and then never listens to the answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's funny to me. But it probably is me. I mean,
no,
I
don't think so.
Okay, now we're going to do some deal breakers. This is you single.
All right.
So, Naomi, this is just different scenarios.
Here. I'm single, and now it's a scenario.
Yes.
Okay. Is it because I'm divorced or because I'm single, much younger than I am now?
Your pick.
Well, if I'm divorced... That's a pretty sad guy. So I'll go back in time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What time? Do you want to give
us
a year?
We've been married for 20 years.
Okay, so where are we at? Like 1995?
Yeah, 1995.
All right,
yeah,
I like
let's
it.
Let's go there.
Where are you, Milwaukee?
No, I'm here.
Okay, you're here.
I'm here. Watch what happens.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You are dating a woman that doesn't shave her armpits because she thinks society shouldn't dictate what she shaves.
Okay.
deal breaker?
Is this the real thing that happened to me?
This
not
is
a deal breaker.
Not a deal.
Not a deal.
Okay.
Breaker. Not
yeah, that's breaker. All you. You can elaborate if you'd like. Are you fond of? We talk about hair a lot on this.
It's not the most important
quality
of a.
Yeah. Have you ever been with a gal who doesn't shave her armpits?
I would say I have. Yeah.
Because I had to grow out my armpit hair for a movie.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, that was gnarly.
Was it?
It was not cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked about it before in the podcast. It's like a weird combination of like fine pubic hair.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, it's not wiry, but
it's weird, right?
Crimpy.
It's like weird hair that doesn't know its purpose.
Yeah. I've been bleaching my hair for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what the carpet downstairs looks
sure.
like, but I didn't. But this is so close to my head,
yes.
my armpits.
Yeah, yeah. It's not getting the message.
Yeah,
supposed to
be cute, wispy, blonde.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the young lady, but for some, it would probably be fairly easy to overlook.
Yeah, and
sexy, some for
maybe.
Others not.
And maybe you like the personality trait that she's like,
cool,
progressive. Yeah. Okay. This is a different gal.
Okay, this is great.
This gal tells you that she needs to take her dog out for a walk, and she proceeds to pull out a dog stroller.
Oh, the dog doesn't have a leg or something?
Nope, the dog has legs, four legs.
Oh, God, I'm not going to stay around.
No dog
I'm
stroller.
I'm leaving that situation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Is it because of the stroller, or is it because...
There's a level of unreality... That you don't want to deal with in a partner.
Uh-huh. Okay. I like this.
There's just a level of I believe in fairies or dog strollers or an unwillingness to face the harsh truth of the moment. And there that dog stroller to me sort of suggests that one of her feet is off the ground.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm full on with you.
I can't do that. There's a lot of things I can excuse, and there's a thing that guys and I think ladies need to do for their partner, which is have like a blind spot, a willful blind spot where whenever that thing is mentioned, it's going to be a blank snow. It's going to be the sound of just static, and I'm not going to hear it, and it's not going to hit me. If that was the only thing she had going on, which I just don't believe. If she's got a dog stroller, she's got a collection of something weird. She's got some responsibility that isn't real. You know, there's other things that are coming out of that that closet.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't want to get away from that.
Yes. It's like there's a gal.
But most people have one or two things that is their hobby horse is a term from long ago. And you excuse it, it is just a zero. It just doesn't impact you. You just write that off so that you can be together.
Totally.
And you're not rude, and you're not dismissive, and you don't put it down.
Yeah.
It just flows right through you.
Yeah.
And you nod your head, and it just goes right. And that's you can write that off.
I like that.
Know what I mean?
Yep, completely. Yeah. But you're right, like a dog stroller can indicate the kind of person who... brags about their preciousness.
Boy, it's just a level of unnecessary thing.
Yeah.
That you just,
like,
if you can...
Like the kind of person who might say something like that...
Listen, I know there are women who have the dog stroller, and I know I've met... Come on.
Yeah.
And they can be really hot.
Oh, they're fucking smoking.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. No, you better believe they're smoking.
Do it, but...
Because
but
that's
then you,
the
one
job.
One time. It's a one time. Maybe two.
Okay.
But then... Yeah.
All right.
Honestly,
so
she could be tipping a few back every day, that girl. And
yeah.
You don't even know it the first time you meet her. She just seems happy.
I'm just worried that she's too vain about her body. I don't know.
I want her to be okay.
She's going to be okay.
I want to tell her you'll be all right.
She's going to be okay. Yeah. She's going to be okay because she's well, you know, she's going to find her.
Either that or she'll be an awesome crazy lady with dog strollers and she'll be into this lovable, eccentric, crazy lady. That's okay.
You really went back and forth.
She might
on
be
this.
Happy.
I have no idea.
Oh,
where
I
you stand.
Still am staying away.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Staying away.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, number three.
Yeah, let's go.
If she wears purple colored contacts.
What the hell's going on? Is it Halloween every day? What
she,
is going on?
She wears the contacts. And.
You know, see, here's the thing, dog stroller, there's something about these choices. That again, it's not a single thing. I'm sorry, and every guy knows that thing comes with other things.
Do you ask her like?
You don't need to.
Why do you wear purple eye contacts?
Honestly, if you say why do you wear purple eye contacts, and she has an okay answer, and I don't know what that would be.
No, the answer.
The answer is there's no answer. That's
the answer is she never. You never see. Her put them on when your friends are like,
I'm getting away
oh,
from
you
that.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah, I'm getting away from that.
She's like,
because I get it. Yeah, that's so.
She claims that it's her real eye color.
Yeah, I'm staying away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't blame you with that.
You know this little movie I made, Girlfriend's Day? That's on Netflix.
Yes.
It's out right now on Netflix.
There's a little scene with me and Amber Tamblyn, and in this story, I play a greeting card writer, and it's in like a community.
Greeting card writers are
yes,
worshipped.
They all go to the same bar. There are fans, Cardies, girls who come who like know what you wrote. I read your card last year. It was so good. It was my favorite, you know, Valentine's Day card. So there's that thing. And Amber Tamblyn comes in and she's like, we've met like some of the fans and she's kind of like a fangirl. And then I'm really scared of her because of that, you know?
Yeah.
I ask her, how many cats do you have? That's like one of the first questions I ask her out of nothing.
What does she say?
She says, I don't have any cats. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That's so cool.
Potentially awesome. Because, you know, I'm expecting the answer to be 13 or 19 or more.
What do you think? Well, I'm getting off track.
Cats are great, but more than three.
Then it's a
probably
family.
Something going on here.
A camly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fat doesn't work quite as well. Anyway. Okay. If she pronounces the L in salmon.
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 I'm okay with that. Yeah.
But then what if she says something like, oh, I'll have the better call salmon.
Oh, forget it. Fucking crazy. Bad puns.
Okay, yeah. So we're not doing well here. Oh, no, we got the armpit hair girl. All right. Oh, okay. If she talks to you in a baby voice during sex.
What's it? Can you do it?
Oh, man.
Little baby Bobby.
Okay, that's
Bobby.
Weird. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to think about babies.
Bobby? Oh, yeah, Bobby. That's a weird porn baby.
Bobby shaking his head no.
No, I don't want that. No. I think that there's probably guys. People on Earth are into every goddamn thing.
That's more of a baby voice, isn't it? Sorry,
right?
I'm working on my baby voices. Hi. Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, no way. Oh, yeah. No way.
What if she's really hot?
It's no way.
Oh, are you okay. Smoking? You want to hear that? She's Chrissy Brinkley.
No fucking way. Nope. No way.
She's getting tickled.
Yeah. She's going to work, that girl. She's going to get work, but not from me. No, that's really annoying.
I've been bad, baby.
All right. Well, you should...
Uh-oh, I wet my diaper.
That's a shame. Sorry, you have to wear diapers.
Okay, I play this horrible character named Karen Sarducci, who's the CEO of Imaginarium Studios.
Oh, great.
And she does general meetings this with actors that she loves.
Yes, the worst. The fucking worst.
Let's do it. Well, we could.
Nightmare. I want to do this, though.
Okay. I think we should do it as Bob.
Yes, totally. Okay.
We were going to give you
this.
The option of
doing
it.
I want to do this. This is great. This is my life. Did you ever see the little movie I made about a guy pitching a movie?
No.
It's called Bob Pitches a Movie, and I play both sides of it. I play myself.
Oh,
and
really?
The, and the executive who's like complete.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't. It came off a meeting I did where I pitched a movie, and the executive, he just knew no references. Well, actually, two meetings. One was a movie that I'd read that I really liked, and they asked me who I pictured in this role, and I said, well, I was going in as a director. Kevin James would have been perfect in this role. And the guy was like, I don't know.
What?
And I was like, there was a billboard outside of the building we were in. The show King of Queens had just gone syndicated, like a few weeks before. Huge billboard.
Do you think it was an act?
And, no, because it was a kind of a specialty division of film. Oh. So he doesn't know anything. But I mean, a fucking billboard outside. You drive past it to get in this building, and never heard. I don't know.
I think you're gonna enjoy Karen Sarducci.
And then they came off that, and it came off another guy, who I worked up a movie idea that was set in Branson, and he never heard of Branson or what it was, and he never heard of anything like it. Like, we were going, well, it's like one of those smaller towns that has resort theaters and things, you know. you know, it was like the Wisconsin Dells, kind of. And he was like, no, no. Never heard of anything like it. The phenomenon of it was Dollywood, nothing. I don't know what you're talking. It's like, it's on Earth. It's a thing human beings do.
That would be really fun. That's like... Karen's up-and-coming partner is the dude who's like that.
Well, the just to say, this executive was from a very famous Hollywood family. So also probably, you know, he just grew up in an incredibly sheltered,
right,
you know, unique and kind of
insulated world.
So, yeah.
Donovan. Well,
yes, I'm Donovan. Okay. I am Karen Sarducci's assistant. So
great.
Karen is ready to see you. Bob, are you ready to see her? Would you like anything to drink? Are you good with the
Yeah, I'm good with the water.
Great.
And I'm great.
And Karen, I'd like you to meet Bob Odenkirk.
Thank you, Donovan. Hi, Bob. Hi,
oh,
how do you do? Karen, I'm just a huge, huge fan of yours.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
Thankful to get the meeting, and honestly, I wasn't sure if you'd even know anything I've done. Do you know the sketch comedy I've done? Because that's what this is. This is kind of based in that world.
Yes, I love sketch comedy. I've been a huge fan of yours for years. Oh. My children, Milo and Ventimiglia, they have their finger on the...
Milo and who?
Ventimiglia.
Oh,
And they've got their... I really believe, I trust in them implicitly, I believe.
How old are they?
14 and 16.
Okay.
Cool. And they're huge fans of yours as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We were just
probably from Tim and Eric and the work I've done with those guys.
They love Mr. Show.
Mr. Show with Bob and David, the thing on Netflix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were just coming back from Budapest, and Milo and Ventimiglia, we were able to catch some episodes of Breaking Bad. And
Better
Call Saul.
Yeah, I'm not in that much, but yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Better Call Saul. Seems to be popular, seems to be playing around the world. That's kind of neat.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. So I wanted to call you in today because I know that you also write.
I do. And most of my life has been as a writer, and
I get that vibe from you.
well,
I do.
This is great.
But I have. We have. We're remaking a famous movie.
Mm.
I didn't tell your agent for a reason because I don't want anyone.
It's a secret.
To know. It's a secret. I don't even want Donovan to fucking know. Donovan,
you want me to leave?
I'm
still here. Sorry.
Fuck you. get the fuck out of here.
I'm out.
I am so sorry.
That's all right. So sorry. He was really annoying, and I wanted him out of here too. And
I can't. I can't hold on to. It's like 3 weeks. You get them trained, and then you're like, oh, they're fucking idiots. Get the fuck out of here.
There's a movie in that, I'll tell you.
Oh, God, there really is.
We should do that. The Assistant. That's a good title. I can see the poster already.
Ugh, but here's the problem. When you have a protagonist that annoys the fuck out of you, how do you sell that movie?
Am I going to
put Donovan on a fucking billboard on Sunset? No.
No, no.
So,
well, what is this remake? I haven't really ever done that, and
well, now that you're a more dramatic actor,
this is great.
We have the rights to Lawrence of Arabia, so we're making a sequel.
Okay,
Liam of Arabia, and
not a remake, a sequel.
A sequel. Sorry, pardon me.
Well, you know Lawrence of Arabia was a real person, so that story was based on. This is not based on someone real.
This is a fiction.
Was this a character in Lawrence of Arabia?
The character of Lawrence. Okay. Has a second cousin, Liam.
Oh, okay.
And
is it set in a different time period, or is it the same?
It's 20 years later.
Oh, it's 20. The Arabia is still there.
Yes, hasn't changed Arab much. Spring. We're thinking you as the lead, of course, Liam.
This is amazing. I'm loving this.
Now,
You want me to write this?
We want to address, yes, we want to address colonialism.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's
Your character's take, though, is pro-colonialism, which I think between you and I was not all that bad. Beautiful architecture.
So Western boy, there's a lot of big issues with
I'd also love to fold in some comedy.
Like fantastic.
Let's say I'm just
riffing, layer it in.
I'm riffing here. Let's say you're deathly allergic to
camels.
No, like sands, cherry tomatoes. One of your best buddies accidentally puts sun-dried tomatoes in your egg salad.
And my face blows up.
We could do a funny set piece like that. We want to focus on the oppression of, let's say, entire nations, love the idea that colonialism could have really succeeded and maybe should still be in place.
Yeah.
Those will be sort of the undertones.
And this is a light film or a serious?
We want moments of lightness.
But otherwise you're shooting for like, this is Oscar territory.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all we do here.
Okay. I maybe have the wrong building.
Well, let me ask you this. The vision was beautiful. The vision was beautiful. It didn't quite come together as we had hoped. But what scares you about Liam of Arabia?
It's just so much to take on, and it's so big. It's an epic. It's, you know, it's David Lean land, and it's...
Well, then what turns you on? If Liam doesn't, we'll get somebody else.
Can you make it smaller in scope? Can we make it like an indie kind of thing?
We can make it in a fucking shoebox, Bob.
Can we make it like...
I don't give a fuck. You could be miniatures.
Like, let's do the indie version. Let's go Sundance. Let's go through Sundance.
Fine, vision? I want your vision, Bob Odenkirk.
Arabian guy,
in a college. I still like the tomato bit. Okay,
get the tomato bit in there. I'm all for that.
Your nose grows every time you eat a tomato? Like Pinocchio.
Yeah, and it's in a college, so kids will love that. Uh-huh. And the guy's here. He's got an arranged marriage because I don't know if that's still popular over there, but I think it is. And how's that going to work out? He comes over with his arranged wife. They've been married since they were like 9.
Uh-huh.
And he meets a girl. and
at age
and
13.
No, both of them. This is great. Arranged marriage. Don't have kids.
No kids.
But they've been married.
9.
And they're like
have
college
they
now.
Consummated.
They both their, get into the same college. No. They both get into the same college. That would ruin it. It'd be no fun.
They're both they're married.
They're both virgins. They've been married.
But they have
we don't explain that.
Great.
They are both in. They both get into Harvard.
Harvard.
Facebook world. You know, whatever the what was the movie about Facebook?
Uh huh.
The movie, the word, the song, Creep.
The
plays.
Neurotic intelligence.
It's great.
Yes.
Great. These two get over here. It's a couple. They both fall in love with someone else. Now they have to get a divorce. It's called. Divorced at 18. And it's just about the tropes of...
I like this. Divorced
like the
at
word
18.
It's divorced at 18 and...
With a question mark.
Question mark?
Or an exclamation
yeah, this is
point.
Great. And that's a great third act, which you just pitched. They find out they actually do love each other. In fact, what they find out is that the person on Facebook who they've been FaceTiming with and talking to and falling in love with is actually the person who was in the their actual...
Rom-com.
Who they're married to.
Rom-com. And then
this could mix
Oprah.
In animation, because part of it is animated.
And the story goes viral.
And the story goes viral, and Oprah has them on, and then it's a lie. That didn't happen. The guy
and
who
the
wrote
book
it,
was written.
And she was on her best list, and she's embarrassed. And
but
is, you know what's
you,
great about
but
this
then
is
you
it's
reunite
a mess.
Again
and a lot of times
French
a movie
Polynesia.
That's a mess is like, that's a negative. That's a strike against it. This movie is just a big disaster. It's got rom comedy. It's got a drama. It's got
but
modern
the thing, in
issues.
This day and
marriage.
Age,
should anyone be married? Should movies be made?
Bob,
should actors act in movies?
The problem today is that because of children's incredibly short
attention spans,
we can't think in tone
we
and
gotta,
a
it's
singular
be two
tone.
Minutes long at the most.
We have to think in like cry, laugh.
How about an improvised movie?
Uh-huh.
Set in Arabia.
Uh-huh.
No English is spoken. Improvised. Only emotions. And we could shoot this thing tomorrow. I mean, we don't need cameras. Practically.
This.
We do need cameras, but...
I knew I would love you. And now I love
well,
you.
Well, look, let's get to work tomorrow. Let's make a deal. Let's not make a movie. Let's make a deal. And announce it in the trades, and that's it.
Well,
be done with it.
Well,
people spend all this time making the movies.
Oh yes.
And then that's where they wait. That's where they make the mistake.
Bob, I have another meeting. I would love to continue the deal.
This is great. I'm going to consider this a massive success.
Donovan.
I park
yes,
in
yes.
the far lot. Do I get validation? And how long does it last? Because I was going to stop by the cafeteria and get.
I'll give you an extra sticker for an additional 20 minutes. Will that work for
I
you?
I need a little more time than that.
I'll give you two 20-minute stickers, so 40
use
minutes.
To the washroom.
So do you want another hour?
If I could, because I'm going to look at my internet while I'm on the toilet. I just need a little extra time.
Hour 20.
I think it'll do.
Perfect.
I think
Bob,
here you go.
Can
I'm
I ask an, you
I'm
something? Is the cafeteria open right now? Because it's after 2:30. Do they stay open?
I'll walk you down to the cafeteria.
Okay, this is great. Well, I consider this a success. I consider you a great person.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
I consider Hollywood a great place to be. And I have had a career today.
Positive energy. I love that.
All right. Thank
I
you. I'll see you in Ojai.
Oh.
One day.
Donovan.
At a resale shop.
Donovan.
Yes.
He's the first person I've ever liked.
I like him a lot, too.
Shut the fuck up.
Uh-oh.
Take
Don't
him to the cafeteria.
Right this way, sir.
Goodbye, Bob.
What a meeting that was. Now, I will tell you the truth. I was called in as a writer, and they had a property that they wanted us to write, and I don't do this kind of thing, and it was Francis the Talking Mule. I mean, what the fuck? Why would you think I would do anything but make fun of that notion? I would never write it. It was ridiculous. And who would go see that nowadays? There aren't mules anymore. People used to have mules. They were a thing in the 40s. There was a mule in your world. somewhere down the street, pulling the garbage cart or the rag
cart. What was the name of the donkey again?
Francis, Francis, the Talking Mule. And then it became a radio show, I think, and then a TV show for 2 seconds in the 60s or 50s. And then that was the end of it. Nobody, you know, come on. Mules aren't a touchstone. It's like you'd have to tell the kids, here comes a movie. First of all, you need to know something. Many years ago, mules, a version of a horse, was used to pull small carts around neighborhoods. Okay, now here comes the trailer.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Like, it's not a...
Oh, okay, okay, we have to get to calls. We call strangers.
Okay, you call them?
Yep.
Well, they, yes.
Well, we,
yeah.
Yeah, we call them.
All right.
I know. And I don't know. We give them, we try to give them heartfelt advice. I don't know. Sim is the only
one
who knows.
We're
going
to try and get through them quickly. They're waiting. They're both in New York, okay. Actually. And we only have a little bit of time left with you, Bob. So let's get to this quickly. First, we're calling Jamie. Jamie is in New York, and she is 27.
I laughed. He made me laugh.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. I'm a little beat up after a day.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Talking.
Oh, I was having a
hard time. Hello.
Hey, Jamie. It's Sim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now. Anna, meet Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, thanks for staying up late. Sorry. We've been chatting. We're here with the most amazing Bob Odenkirk.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're going to call everybody to tell them about my movie, my little tiny movie that appears on Netflix starting tomorrow called Girlfriend's Day.
Nice. Girlfriend's Day. It's actually released. We're releasing this next week. So
okay. So it's
there,
been out there for six days. God damn it. Watch it again already. Okay. What's the problem?
Yeah, Jamie, what's happening? On? What's happening with your boyfriend of 3 months?
Okay. So I'm dating a guy that I really like more than anyone I've ever dated. And overall, it's been a pretty healthy relationship. But as we're getting closer, I'm noticing he's just becoming a little bit more territorial and getting a little bit more obsessive or just caring more about my previous dating history.
Oh.
And last week, he was asking just questions about past dating experiences, and I just realized that like it was a bad idea to start getting into details about it. And when I said that I don't think it's a good idea to talk about it, he was like, oh, are you hiding something from me? But I mean, I don't think I'm hiding anything from him, but I did have like my early 20s where I had like I partied a little bit and got into relationships that I wouldn't get into now, and I don't think it's a good idea to get into details about past relationships.
Yeah, I completely, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah,
no.
I think, and it's interesting because I feel like what you said before about being in your 20s and having a little bit of a wild past made me feel like there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel in your voice I sensed a little bit of like guilt as though this guy is... You're already feeling he's already making you feel shame in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want you to feel shame at all. You have nothing to, maybe you have a couple things to apologize for, but I have a fucking 4,800 things to apologize for. But anyway, sorry. So keep going.
I want to say that the thing itself is not what matters. It's how you feel about it. And how it makes you feel, and how it makes you feel because of how he is asking you, where, why, the way in which he's asking you is what matters, not the thing itself, because whoever you find may well be curious about your life and what you've been through, but in a way that doesn't feel wrong when you talk about
it.
And you'll feel fine about sharing those experiences because you'll have a gut feeling of trust with that person. That's my feeling, because my wife and I there's a weird, it's very strange how we're able to just, I mean, I care about how it affected her.
Right, of course.
That's it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't care.
That's a lovely way to be. I mean,
that's the ideal situation. And I would love, that's how I would want it to be. And that's how I am with him. Like, I don't care at all what he did in his past, unless it matters for him to tell me.
Right. Well, maybe he's just not mature enough.
Yeah, I normally don't ask people's ages, but I wanted to know how old he is.
He's 28.
Yeah, I mean, that is immaturity. And maybe there's a chance for him to grow out of that kind of possessive, aggressive.
Boy, it's weird, you know, you got to trust your gut. You got to trust how it feels, because it's the question is not what matters. It's how it makes you feel and how.
Right.
And I guess my only question to him would be just, can you help me understand what it means to you to hear these, to have this question answered? And
well, he says that like guys and girls are different, and that's why it doesn't matter to me, because he's like, it just matters to guys more to.
No.
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 Thanks, Bob.
All guys and girls are different from each other.
Right.
As well.
But that's just that is such a lame reason.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're wired differently.
No,
so
that's
I can
scary.
Fuck a lot. I'm supposed to fuck a lot because I'm a dude,
thing.
But you're not supposed to fuck a lot because you're a girl. That's how we're different. Sorry, does he sound like that?
That's
well, sorry, there's
Let's give her some final advice.
Okay.
This
guy's major red flags to me.
You don't think there's a way to just reassure him that, like,
I don't think he should need it.
Yeah, but I would say if you tried to reassure him and then 2 weeks later the question came up again, which is what would happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you didn't reassure him, did you? And he can't be reassured.
And he shouldn't have to be. Like, I think this is a bigger, you know, he shouldn't have to be.
You should feel
reassured.
Safe. It doesn't sound like you feel safe with his energy and in this area.
Before we let her go, Anna, tell her what she should say to him if it comes up again.
I just think this is going to, this is just one piece of a very large puzzle of things that are problems in, I suspect, I don't know if he's a kind of guy who makes fun of you or teases you in ways that hurt your feelings. To me, that's a big red flag. I had an ex who would jump out from behind the corner, which like to scare me all the time. And I hated it. And I thought that was
like spaghetti.
Really, yeah.
Do you know who spaghetti is?
No.
Go on the internet, go on YouTube and type in spaghetti.
But point being, I just think this is a symptom amongst many symptoms. And I bet if you noticed a lot of his other behaviors too, my final advice is that I think he's the wrong guy.
I go with Anna on this. And this book is kind of about a woman finding her confidence and bravery. This book.
A book that Bob brought for Anna. It's called, what is it called again?
It's called Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube. By Blair Braver.
Jamie, I want you to know also, wait, before we go, too, that I've been in your position. And I also absorbed, in a weird way, the question, because when Chris and I first started dating, because I haven't had that many relationships. I haven't been with that many people. I wish I had been with a lot more before I married Chris. I mean, I love. I just wish I have felt more sexually free is my point. But something that you, I don't know, I shouldn't feel shameful for. And when I first started dating Chris, I weirdly boasted to him. I was boastful as I said my number, and I remember thinking, why the fuck am I brag? Like, why am my twisted brain? Has this come out as a brag? Because I think that men, like women, should be able to sleep. It should never be a numbers game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. And Chris turned to me and he was like, Why did you feel the need? He called me on it. He was like, why did you, I don't care. Why did you feel the need to say that? And I was like, I don't know why I did. And anyway.
So you don't think that I should just, like, even just call him out on it and be like, is this going to be an issue for you?
But it is an issue.
If it's an issue.
Yeah, and it's a big one. And
I kind of just brushed it under the rug and have been avoiding the topic since, and just been waiting until I figured out what to do. But I guess now.
Boy, it's
so. Have you given him just sort of vague details about your past? You haven't really. Have you told you haven't like told him your number or like your.
No. I never think that's a good idea. Like, I don't see why it matters.
Right, exactly. So good. And I think you have to ask him to examine himself, like Bob said, like really why do you feel the need to ask this? And if he says the guys and girls are wired differently, I really think you gotta kick his ass to the curb. I'm sorry.
Jamie, I wish we had more time with you, but Bob has to leave. But I really do believe that what they said is right.
Yeah.
So please listen to them.
Yeah. And Jamie, thanks so much. And I think there's other red flags you'll see. Okay. We love you.
Thanks, Jamie.
I love you so much.
Thank you so much for your help. I love you guys.
We love you too.
Bye.
So Anna, why don't we do this?
Why don't we wrap
Bob out, and then you and I can tackle the next call alone?
Great. Good. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Great to see you. I'm a big fan of yours.
You. You made me laugh really, really, really hard.
Oh, and so watch Spaghetti after I leave. She knows about it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you. Do you have a car?
Yeah, let's take a 5-minute break. And then... I'm sad that he's gone, Anna.
Me too.
I'd like to, but by the way, we do have someone replacing him.
Who?
My girlfriend, Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Anna.
Amy's a lawyer and she's super powerful.
Yes, she is. She's a federal prosecutor. Very powerful lawyer.
I don't know anything about this call.
It's so dope. Like, I feel like I name drop you more than...
How do you think I feel?
You got Vin Diesel. Well, I'm friends with a federal prosecutor. Somebody who's in the real world who's really fucking smart.
Hell yeah. That's how... Oh my God, my favorite thing to do is boast about my girlfriend. All right, so we're going to call Sophia right now. She's also in New York, and she is 24.
Oh. Hello?
Hey, Sophia, it's Sim. Hi.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, it's Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm great. We're also here with Amy.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
I know. Bob Odenkirk had to leave. I'm so sorry. But you know what? Amy's going to give you incredible advice. I promise.
Yay. Hi, Amy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, thanks for staying up late and for submitting a question and be willing to talk to us.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you guys taking time out to talk to me.
Of course, Sophia. Let's get into this. So you've been with your boyfriend for a year now. Tell us about his best friend.
My boyfriend has this best friend that they've been best friends for like 7-8 years. And prior to me meeting him, I had heard so many great things about him. And so I was really looking forward to, bonding, et cetera, whatever. And it has become very apparent because they just moved in together in New York City. And it has become very apparent that he does not like me. And I'm not really sure what to do about it. And at first I thought, maybe it's just in my head, but there were numerous instances where he would be cold to me or he would snap at me or yell at me or just be really rude. And it's gotten to a point where I don't know what to do specifically.
Give us some examples. You told me a few examples yesterday on the phone. Talk about some of them.
Okay. So I'll start small and then go big. So there are times when I'll just be, trying to have a conversation with him one-on-one and he'll just get up and walk away in the middle of the conversation after I ask him a blatant question. There was another instant, I feel like he's trying to, he gets mad at me for things that I don't think he would get mad at other people. Maybe he's trying to look for something, but for example, there was a Super Bowl party, and they have like kind of a small apartment, and one of my friends and her boyfriends wanted to go. So I asked him if they could go, and he said, yeah, like there's not a lot of room, but I have no problem with them coming. So they came and then they left, whatever. And he like pulled me aside afterward and was really pissed off that I had brought them over. And I said, well, listen, like you said that they could come. And he's like, you're an adult. You should have figured out from my answer that there was no room for them and that I didn't want them to come. And I was just kind of taken aback by that.
Yeah.
There's other times where, just small things like where, he'll say something. I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. What? Like, I just didn't hear him. And they'll say like, I said, I put the egg in the fridge.
So he's a condescending asshole.
Wow. And you lives with your boyfriend?
I think he wants to fuck you. I mean, this is like the most serious, maybe I'm being too blunt, but.
Or maybe he wants to fuck her boyfriend.
Maybe, but I.
He has a girlfriend, right? He's been with someone for a while. Your boyfriend's best friend.
Yeah, he's been with someone for a really long time. He's always had a boyfriend. He's always had a girlfriend, and I'm my boyfriend's first girlfriend, like long term girlfriend. And so I don't know if this is like
no, that's a big
new
deal.
Territory.
Yeah, because all of a sudden he's acting
like he's fucking six.
Well, he's also being extremely territorial, and he's being very possessive of his best friend. And that's really fucked up. But the bigger issue is the way he's treating you, and that's awful.
Have you told your boyfriend about this? Like, or has he witnessed any of this?
Yeah. So I did tell him about it at first, and you know, he wants to have, you know, this is his best friend, and this is also his girlfriend. So he wants to maintain like a solid ground with both. And so at first he was trying to like play devil's advocate, like, well, you know, maybe you're just reading into things, etc. And then there was an incident where he actually like snapped and yelled at me in front of like six people. And they talked about it. And when my boyfriend asked him, you know, what was that about? He just like, do you not like my girlfriend? Is there something going on? And he just gave a very political, like, you know, it's your girlfriend, do what you want kind of thing. And it's just, it's getting to a point where I don't know what to do. And
I have so many thoughts, but Anna, I know I'm going to let you go first because I'm upset.
Well, I want to hear guy's perspective.
My guy's perspective is not going to be very kind. So you might as well, I know you're going to be much nicer than me on this one.
Okay. Okay.
Because
you go.
No, I personally think that it should be on your boyfriend, and he's acting like kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
Not defending you. Yeah. And he should, his number one priority, if he loves you, should be you and only you. And he should be defending you and sticking up from you every step of the way. And the fact that he's not, maybe he did it once or he doesn't want to get in between. That's bullshit. No, he needs to stand up and show some sack. Be a fucking man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a little upset by the way.
Well, no, I agree. My practical advice was going to be, I think your boyfriend should, I think you should, you need to ask your boyfriend to have a private sit down with his buddy and say like, listen, do you not like Sophia? Do you, and if you don't, can you tell me why?
Well, it's obvious that he doesn't like Sophia.
No, but why? You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't he like her?
It makes me really insecure. Like I don't like going over to their apartment sometimes. Like I just sit in my boyfriend's room and they're all in the living room. Killer.
No, I mean, and that must be really hard. I can only imagine. When Sim and I started dating, I was, you know, it was really important to me that his friends liked me. And I know that like that can be a nervous thing anyway. So to have somebody who's, you know, calling you out like he is.
In front of people, too. Embarrassing. Oh, this is...
You guys, this is bordering like on psychotic behavior.
I agree.
If someone was really possessive of their best friend and hated the idea. Here's what a normal, semi-normal person would do, right? If you hated that your best friend was dating a girl and he'd never, whatever, they're having this new complicated friendship because suddenly there's a new dynamic and he's jealous. A normal person wouldn't be like, I said, put the eggs in the fridge. a normal person would be would swim the waters in a different way.
They talk. They talk shit behind your back.
Exactly.
That's what people do.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like this weird, like, aggressive behavior that.
Right.
Like getting up and walking away from you. Who the fuck does that? Who?
I know.
Anyway, right. Sorry. And I don't know if he does it like on purpose or if like subconsciously he doesn't like not even subconscious, but he just spaces out and doesn't even realize he's like tuning me out or something like that. But I didn't know if this was like a correct theory, but my boyfriend was thinking maybe we just have like competitive personalities.
Oh, boy.
I'm pretty friendly and this guy thinks he is too, but
your boyfriend.
No. We got a problem with your boyfriend right now. Seriously.
Back to the boyfriend sim.
I know.
Take over. Because Sim is right. Like, if it's a weird defense that your boyfriend's doing, and it's weird. He's, you know, I love using the term pussy to describe my pussy. I don't like using it as a derogatory term as a feminist, but right now I'm going to use it. Your boyfriend is being a pussy.
He's being like a total fucking pussy. I'm sorry, Sophia. How old is he, by the way?
He's 25, and he's a really good guy. I think he's just nervous because he's in this like between a rock and a hard place.
No, he's not.
Because he doesn't.
He loves you, right?
Yeah.
He wants to be with you, right?
I hope so.
How long is the lease?
The lease.
Yeah, on their apartment. They live together, right?
They just moved in in November.
So you see him all the time whenever you visit your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is the lease a year? That's a good question.
I didn't answer the question.
Fascinated that Amy was asking such a cool legal question. I love it. Yeah.
But even if they're living together, it doesn't matter. Because I mean, it's not like you're going to live with your boyfriend yet, or maybe you are. I don't know what your situation is exactly. But the bigger issue is your boyfriend is not defending you, and he should be defending you.
Right. And that your boyfriend's not listening to you and how you're feeling about it. You know, that he's not respecting that, at least, you know. He should, you know, if he's not going to intervene in front of everybody, he should be at least able to pull his friend aside
and say, this is not okay, and say, stop it right now.
And say, you're making
love
my girlfriend really uncomfortable.
Just stop being cut it out. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. It makes me, there's like this other level where it makes me insecure about like maybe this best friend sees something that my boyfriend doesn't see about me that's wrong or something
No. I'm convinced that the best friend is a fucking weird fucking dude, and this has nothing to do with you at all.
He might secretly want to have sex with.
Yes.
Her.
Yeah.
My thing.
He's either like a very very fucked up weird dude who might kill people, or he really wants to fuck you. Either one. Your boyfriend needs to confront him. I think.
Yeah, you sound pretty self-aware to me.
He has this very arrogant personality. Like, you can see that that's like one of my best friends met him, and the second they my boyfriend's best friend left the room, she was like, "Oh yeah, that guy's a douchebag," and I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, that's good. Confirmation is good. But wait. What does he do? Do you know what the best friend does for a living?
As a job.
Yeah.
He's like a research analyst. I'm not sure.
Okay. I just needed to get a type in my head.
Talk to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. I'm so sorry.
So what are you going to say to your boyfriend?
I guess I'll just say, like, listen, we've talked about this a lot. I know you say it makes you uncomfortable, but I feel so much more uncomfortable than you feel. Like, imagine if you were around my best friends and somebody was just blatantly rude to you and I never stuck up for you. Like, it would hurt. I bet it would hurt your feelings because it's hurting mine.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I wouldn't put it that nicely. Yeah. I would say stop acting like such a fucking pussy and sack up.
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, what you're looking for is somebody who's going to be on your team, right? You know, so.
Yeah.
Right.
If that's not this guy, then better to, you know, find that out now, cut your losses and move on. Because the good guys will defend you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the back of my head, I knew that was, I mean, it was either that or it was either I confront the best friend, like, listen, what is your problem with me? Like, I'm not doing anything wrong and you keep being rude to me.
I mean, you could do that, but I don't think you'd get a very satisfactory answer from him, honestly.
Okay. Like, he'll just be like, I don't have a problem with you.
Yeah, crazy. Exactly. He's going to deflect or he's going to gaslight you or, you know, I don't know. I don't think that's the real solution.
No, I really appreciate your guys' advice because it was getting to a point where I was just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's so tough. I was thinking the other day about how a lot of guys that I know tend to have these lingering like bromances from people, like more than women do, I think. Here's my theory. Mm-hmm. The guys tend to have like this intense, weird loyalty towards people that they've known for a long time, even if they've outgrown each other. And I'm just trying to think about why her boyfriend would be weak in this area.
Because he's known him a lot longer than he's known her. They've been best friends for a long time.
My bigger theory. So my mild defense of her boyfriend right now is a little bit of like, guys have this weird thing with people that they feel loyal to. And so he's not that he's prioritizing him at all, but it's just a bigger.
It's just easier to ignore, like, kind of thing. It's just easier to sweep it under the rug.
No, but that shouldn't be happening at all.
It shouldn't be happening. But what I'm saying is that I think anyway, it's sort of a bigger picture. But I think that at their age, it's not the most grievous offense.
Sure, I agree. But at the same time,
you don't get that until you're pretty mature.
He needs to stand up for her. Yeah. And if they're not friends anymore after that, that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? I've been upset with so many friends who have said awful things about people that I've dated in the past. And I'm back to being friends with them.
But none of those guys were like, I bet you they weren't rude to her face.
They were never rude to her face.
I can't imagine ever being that guy.
Exactly.
You know
that's
what I mean?
What I'm saying. True. Is that there's a normal person path.
No. Right. Yeah, yes. No one. I don't know anyone would be. Weird.
No, none of your friends
If any of my friends said something to you in front of me, you know me. I would fucking go nuts.
I hope that never happens.
Yeah, the incident when it like kind of blew up, I was like shocked. I looked at my boyfriend and he just was like kind of like, oh, go God.
Oh, boy.
You need to have a serious talk with your boyfriend and tell him that this is what he needs to do. He needs to stand up for you. He needs to know that you are priority number one. And if he's not going to do that, if he's more interested in salvaging the friendship or not getting in between the two of them, guess what? He's not the right guy for her.
I think she should simply say to her boyfriend, listen, I'm not quite sure why your friend doesn't like me, but I need you to do me this favor. I need you to speak with him privately. And I don't need to know what the answers are, if he has specifics necessarily, but this is very confusing to me. And I want you to question him about it because I think that you saying, like, go confront him is a divisive move.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
It's escalating.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you present it as, please, like, I need you to go talk to him and ask him why.
He had done that before, but his best friend just gave such a political answer that was just like, all right, he's not going to say anything else.
Yeah.
Forget about the past at this point. Forget about what's happened in the past.
Now again, private and good time, like a dude, I need to talk to you scenario.
Right.
Not like, hey, we're all chilling. What's up with like, why aren't you guys? Seems like you're not getting along. Whatever. Like it needs to be at like a serious moment, you know?
And it's not like the best friend is like blatantly in public like, I hate you. They're just small things that, you know, are noticeable. And even one of my boyfriend's other friends like said to me like, yeah, that guy does not like you.
Yeah, do your boyfriend's other friends like you?
I think so. Yeah, we all get along pretty well. I
feel like there's nothing not to like about you. You seem awesome. Sorry. But it's true.
That might be a data point I would reference in talking to your boyfriend is that, like, I get along with all your other friends. So it's clearly, like, this guy and not me.
Right.
You know,
I know that I can be, like, sometimes I'm, like, a little more outgoing and silly and stuff like that. But I figured when you're in good company, like, everybody gets outgoing and silly with their friends.
Yeah, that doesn't sound terrible.
Yeah.
You have to have a conversation with them immediately.
Yeah.
And, okay.
And seriously, the less, like, the shorter it can be. Like, I don't want you to go into, like, a whole defense, like, a personal
right.
defense of why. I think if you can force yourself to make it literally, like, I need you to do this for me. I need you to go ask him why he doesn't like me. And don't go into any of, like, why, like, it's because I feel like this and because I feel like this. It just make it short and sweet. So he understands the gravity of it, and you're not suddenly backtracking into a place of weakness.
Because I don't want to have to, like, be sorry for feeling this way.
No.
Nope.
No, don't be sorry. Be. Just tell him, you know, look, I want us to get along. I want him to like me. Like, yeah. And I don't understand what's going on.
Right.
But I don't even think that they should.
You're
even,
awesome.
I don't even think they should even try and, like, and salvage any kind of friendship or become, at this point, you know, he hates you and you don't like him. So that's going to be that. And it's right now it's just about being able to adapt to that reality of the fact that they are living together and you're going to be around and you guys don't like each other. But at the end of the day, your boyfriend is with you and he has your back and he has to, and you have to make sure that he has your back because if he doesn't, what?
Is there a world where they literally talk it out? If he's like, her boyfriend is like, listen, are
he's
you having trouble?
He's a fucking douchebag.
I know. I think he's going to kill people. I think his behavior is so fucking aggressive.
Why would she want to be friends with this guy?
I mean, it sucks. It's just a sucky situation because I wish my boyfriend's best, like in the perfect world, you know, in my boyfriend's point of view, like his girlfriend would get along with everybody, but
not going to happen.
Does his friend's girlfriend like you? Like what's her
story? Yeah, good question.
Oh, does his girlfriend? Yeah, we get along really well. We talk almost all the time. And yeah, I really don't understand.
What does she say? Have you talked to her?
I brought it up a little bit last week and then she was just saying like, oh, it's just an adjustment period, but like the adjustment period has been since like April.
Because that could be another angle, you know. So. Make friends with her and
that's not gonna do anything. You need to just talk to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend he needs to show some sack. That's it.
Okay.
And by sack I mean balls.
Yeah. In case
big
that was
sack of balls.
Ambiguous.
What if you had tiny balls in a huge sack?
That could happen.
And
well,
like,
thank you so much for talking
it would be
to
like
me.
Getting a good visual.
Of a tiny sack and big
balls. Yeah, so before you leave, Sophia. Happy thought for the day. Tiny, tiny balls that look like little frog's eyes. And a sack that drips between somebody's knees.
Oh, God.
That's a great visual. Thank you, Anna.
You are
it's
welcome.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sophia, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And let me know how it goes after you talk to your boyfriend.
Good luck.
All right. Great. Thank you guys.
Good night, Sophia.
Bye.
Good night. We love you.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
Let's wrap this up.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us once again on our podcast.
And let's thank Bob Odenkirk, who's not here.
He's not here. He had to leave early, but man, my gut still feels
he's amazing,
sore
isn't he? He's absolutely hysterical.
He was incredible.
Oh,
love
that guy.
My voice is going? I feel like I sound like my voice is going.
Maybe. Should we end it right now?
Good night, everybody.
Wait. Follow us on all of the things.
Oh, yeah. Will you please
all right,
do that
follow
part?
Us on all of our social media. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. We love that. And
thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank
for
you. Thank you, Amy.
All your support and love.
Thanks for letting me play.
We love you. And thanks, Amy.
Good night.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you, Sam.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Wow.
All right. It's too late. All right. Well.
No, come on.
All right.
Just do it really quick. Is it recording?
Yeah, it's still recording.
Oh, okay.
I don't engage in this.
Okay, fair enough.
You can if you want to. I'm sure. Okay.
Hey, listen. If
no, I need to save that if I ever say it.
Okay. Yep. I like
to have meaning.
Yep.
All right. Get it over with.
All right. You get the girlfriend pass. Only you.
Yep.
Okay, Sim.
Yes, Anna.
Fuck you.
Good night, everybody.